Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Life Coach Cindy Chavez. Today is Wednesday. Happy Neville Day, August the 5th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we're happy to have Neville Day back. It's been a while, Cindy. We've even gotten people sending us emails about it.
I know. And also we came back not last week, but the week before with a new Neville book. And we've already gotten emails from people thanking us and saying they were enjoying it. And we had one lady, I believe she said it was her 82nd birthday.
That's right.
Celebrated by listening to us talk about Neville. And that's awesome. I'm excited.
It's fun. It's fun to have the enthusiasm. It's fun to revisit something that you and I spend quite a bit of time on.
Yeah.
And kind of revisit those old concepts again. Yeah. And it's, well, today is also, for me, it's like we talked about before the show, it's a day of gratitude for me, because listeners will know, anyone who listened to yesterday's show, and by the way, I've gotten some good feedback, people saying they love the show, which is, I'm glad that they did, especially given, you know, how much I had to go through in order to stay connected for it.
Right.
It was quite the ordeal. It was quite the event, but maintained a good sense of humor throughout. But today, I reached a new level of gratitude about it, because at the time, I thought something like 250,000 people I'd heard were without power. I now understand that my power company is called Eversource. And Eversource now has 650,000, not people, customers without power. So it's probably 2 million people without power right now.
Right.
That's about half the state. And
wow.
I'm thinking, wow. I mean, first of all, I'm glad that I understand how to apply the law of attraction and the laws of the universe to help keep the power on. I thought I was kind of failing. I was trying to show off for the audience, I think, yesterday. And I wasn't doing it as well as I normally have been able to done, but maybe I did better than I thought. You know,
it's that perspective, right?
Yeah. But gratitude is definitely at the top of my list. And when I told Louise about it, yeah, she was doing like this kind of thing. Yes, a feeling of gratitude. Because, wow, I mean, I know of at least one person, and I heard this in the news reports, that they're saying that their power isn't going to be back until Sunday. So they're going to have like the next 4 days without power in heat that isn't quite as bad as Louisiana, but it's bad enough.
I've been through one where I lost power for 5 days, and we had another hurricane where we lost power for 25 days in the middle of August, right? When it's 105 degrees out. That's not fun. And I love the way your perspective can do that change when you realize, oh, wait, wow, maybe I was more effective than I thought. You know?
Exactly.
Like I was telling you before the show last week, I woke up on Monday with a sore throat. I had a splitting headache. My ear hurt. And so I just decided to stay in bed and just take care of myself, drink a lot of water and tea and, you know, all of that, do all of my magic that I could think of to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday I sent you a message saying, I feel like, you know, I'm doing my best, but I don't know the future, so just wanted to give you a heads up.
Right.
Wednesday, I actually woke up feeling better.
Which is good.
Which was kind of shocking for how bad I felt. But I was still, my energy level was really low. And so that's when I sent you a message and said, I think I want to take a pass and stay in bed again today. Just because I didn't want to say, let's do the show and then show up and be like low energy and my head start hurting again, because the headache was tremendous.
And it worked out well, because I got to talk to Joel Elson in the back room.
Yeah, right. People were excited to hear Joel. So, yeah, it worked out perfect. And then I woke up the next morning and I felt completely better. Not like, oh, good, I'm getting better. I feel much better. But I felt normal, like
100%. Wow.
Yeah. And my son had sent me a message, you know, concerned about me, because he Googled, you know, whether those symptoms were part of COVID-19. Of course, I was saying to you earlier, COVID-19 has like, you know, 75 symptoms or something.
Right.
So pretty much any symptom anybody gets, it's like, oh no, is this COVID-19?
Yeah.
But I told him, I said, the whole time I kept telling myself, this is just, and I typed it in all caps, this is just a head cold. And he texted me back, # positive affirmations. I never thought I have a head cold would be a positive affirmation.
But, right.
You know, it's what's familiar, right? And what we've survived before. It's like that lizard brain we talk about sometimes. We don't like change and we don't like uncertainty. And if we've survived something before, we're like, okay, I can get through this. I don't know what it was. I did all kinds of things. You know, I did the normal Neville stuff of just imagining waking up and feeling great, imagining feeling perfect. And, you know, I'm not going to say that that works for me 100% of the time, but it worked this time. Something worked this time.
It definitely worked this time. There's no doubt.
So,
which is great.
But it's the perspective, right? It's like, did I like being sick for 2 days? No, I hated it. But 2 days is a lot better than 10 days. I was telling you, I had that idea in my head that I don't know who put there, a friend of mine or something, when I was very young, maybe a parent, that a head cold is 3 days coming, 3 days with you, and 3 days going.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always kind of look back and said, yeah, that's about right. You know, you have a few days where you can kind of like, I feel like I'm coming down with something. And then you have, oh gosh, yes, it hit me. And then you have, yeah, I'm feeling better. This was just 2 days, 2.5 days, and then done. So I don't know.
That's improvement. That's definitely improvement.
That's my gratitude for today. I'm thankful to be here. And
sure.
Great. Yeah.
Well, I would even add that what you were doing was, not only were you applying what you knew from the tool set about how to heal yourself and healing yourself successfully, but your perspective really was different. I mean, yes, and we're kind of making fun of the fact that it wasn't COVID and that it was just a head cold and so forth, but that is a different perspective from what we normally have about a head cold. And that perspective is a difference. It's an important difference. I mean, you were actually feeling good about that fact, which sounds strange to say, but it felt good. And it doesn't really matter why something feels good. If it feels good, it feels good.
Well, and you know, the thought that I have a head cold is a thought that feels a whole lot better than having something that could be fatal, right? And that's so, it's so true. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's just that perspective shift is a higher level of energy.
Well, I think you were reinforcing your Neville type, assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled activities. I think they were kind of working together because they were both higher vibration, and that's going to work. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about, it was at your command.
It was at my command, right? Oh gosh. If we could just, you know, I think about Florence Scovelshin, another one of my favorite New Thought teachers, kind of old timey, you know, language, but one of the things that she always said was that if we knew how powerful our words were, we'd be very careful about what we said.
Right? And yes, I'm chuckling not at what you're saying. I'm chuckling because yesterday with the stream, one of the first questions, I think it was the first question from one of our listeners that I read on the air before I got knocked off, was from somebody asking, had the stream read Florence Scovelshin's book from 1925, and the stream chuckled, saying, we love the fact that you asked if we read it.
I wanted to say read it, we wrote it.
And the answer was, well, David read it, or David hasn't read it, but he's aware of it, so we're aware of it in the same way. And then they followed up by pointing out that a lot of people throughout history have successfully received information similar to the way David does, similar to the way Esther Hicks does, from source energy. And apparently Florence was one of those. She was able to receive this information, translate it into writing, and basically be well ahead of her time in terms of putting these words of information out there.
Yeah, it's just kind of that whole idea of cosmic consciousness, right?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. So that's why I said read it. Wrote it.
That's right. That's
I love that. Well, we read the first chapter of a short Neville book last week. A book that we didn't know existed until a few weeks ago, and we're very happy to find, and it's called At Your Command. And so we're going to continue on today with chapter 2. It actually says part 2, and I don't know why that is, but I'm just going to call it a chapter.
I know where you're reading from the webpage that was written up for this, atyourcommand.org. And I'm wondering if the person who put this page together broke it up into parts, because you also sent me a PDF file of the book, and the PDF file doesn't have any chapters at all. It's all one continuous text.
Oh, I thought the PDF file was for the lecture that we were going to look at.
Oh, maybe I'm confusing. I thought they were part and parcel, but let me see. Now you got me wondering, did I confuse the issue?
The law of identical harvest. I know I sent you that.
No. You also sent me a PDF on At Your Command.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you sent me a separate
one. Awesome. Right. I didn't recall having
you
one.
You didn't recall doing it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure it is the same text. It looks like it is, but it's not broken up into chapters.
So that must be it. And yeah, I'm glad we have it broken up because it gives us a nice starting point and stopping point. So
plus, I think he realized, whoever did this, that we do hour long shows and it was perfect for an hour long show. So, you know.
It's kind of like somebody that time travels, obviously.
That's it. That's got to be it.
All right. Well, you ready to dive in, or do we have
an announcement you want to make? Oh, well, we should probably just remind people to, if they haven't downloaded the LOA Today app, to do so, because that's where everything is going. By the way, I meant to tell you before the show, but I can tell you now. I am very close to putting out an update that includes the book that you've donated to the app, which is The Lovely Magician's Guide to Soulmate Success. And I don't remember what the subtitle is. It's too long to remember it all. But
But, yes, it's using the law of attraction to prepare yourself for a soulmate relationship.
That's what it was. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, the only thing I have to do at this point is, I know you had some links in there and so forth, and so I have to go test all the links and make sure that they're all correct.
Got it.
I launch it. But that's going to come up in a few days now, so everyone can look for that on their phones and other devices.
Excellent.
Thank you for the donation. That was a great donation.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm very excited about the app. The app is great. It's genius, brilliant, wonderful. Very happy about it.
And I'm getting some great response from listeners, too. People are writing in saying they love it. They think it's fabulous. That they love how easy it is to use. And I'm feeling like, yes, yes, yes. Check.
Because it was like a long time dream and a lot of work to get it done, right?
It was. So,
yeah, it's paying off now. That's fantastic.
And it's a work in progress. I mean, it's not like it's done forever. There's going to be stuff added continuously, which is the main reason why I want to keep urging people to download and install the app. And a number of people have, I don't know the exact count. I think it's somewhere around 90 to 100 people have installed it on iPhones and Androids that I can count directly, that I can see the evidence of. And that's great. I love the fact that you've done that, but I want to encourage everybody to do it. And I want to encourage people to tell a friend as well, because it now is easier than ever before to subscribe. We used to talk about subscribe, right? And all the different things you had to do to subscribe depending on your device. Now it's just you install the app. That's it.
Yes.
You're done.
So much better. Really.
So it's so easy to tell. All you have to do is just install the LOA Today app. And they got all this great stuff. They got Dan Mangina's Money Game. They've got his book, his audio book, Beyond Intention. Now they're going to have Cindy's book, The Lovely Magician's Guide to Soulmate Success. And there's more stuff coming. I'm even very, very close to adding the book that you helped to contribute to, Your
awesome.
Daily Dose of Happy, Real Success Stories.
I'm
thinking
about
adding that one as well. You know, it's just going to keep piling on and piling on. This is going to be the go-to place for a law of attraction online. So,
awesome.
Got to get the app.
Excellent.
And tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. All right. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ready for this? All right. So this is where we start today, at your command. In the awareness of being, all things are possible. He said, "You shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass." This is his decreeing, rising in consciousness to the naturalness of being the thing desired, as he expressed it. And I'm going to cut in here for a second and remember that he is talking, Neville is talking about, when he says he's talking about Jesus, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back with Neville going through a lot of Christian scripture. And we will break away on occasion to use our Neville decoder ring and explain what Neville's talking about.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm so glad we have that decoder ring.
So he says, this is his decreeing, rising in consciousness to the naturalness of being the thing desired, as he expressed it, quote, "And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me." If I be lifted up in consciousness, Neville says, to the naturalness of the thing desired, I will draw the manifestation of that desire unto me. For he states, quote, "No man comes unto me, save the Father within me draws him, and I and my Father are one." Therefore, consciousness is the Father that is drawing the manifestations of life unto you. Now, let's just unpack this quickly so we don't get behind in what Neville's saying. Remember that whenever Neville talks about the Father from the Christian scriptures, or the Hebrew scriptures, actually, when he talks about the Father, he's talking about God. But Neville's definition of God is that we are God.
Right.
And that Jesus is our imagination or our consciousness. And so that's what he's saying here, is that when we can rise in consciousness to the place of the thing we are wanting to create, feeling naturalness, it will just manifest itself.
And the fact that he is actually directly comparing consciousness to God is very consistent with what he has done in the other books that we've studied.
Yes, correct. So he goes on to say, you are, speaking to the reader, speaking to us, you are at this very moment drawing into your world that which you are now conscious of being. Now you can see what is meant by, quote, you must be born again. If you are dissatisfied with your present expression in life, the only way to change it is to take your attention away from that which seems so real to you and rise in consciousness to that which you desire to be. You cannot serve two masters. Therefore, to take your attention from one state of consciousness and place it upon another is to die to one and live to the other.
Interesting phrasing there. That's an interesting way to say it.
I love this idea that he says at the very beginning, where he says, you know, you are at this very moment drawing into your world that which you are now conscious of being.
Yeah.
I think that the idea of who we are being or what we are being is the key idea here. Is what are we conscious, or who are we conscious of being? Because that is the thing that draws everything into our world, because everything we experience is directly connected to our identity, or our consciousness of identity, right? Mm. The story that we tell about ourselves. So I think that's important to grasp here,
right.
Is that Neville, and of course, Neville makes everything sound really easy. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that it might be simple, but it's not always easy in practice. It takes practice. That's my opinion anyway. Sometimes.
Well, I can attest to how much practice it takes. It takes a lot of practice. It takes, in some cases, a bit of trial and error. It takes, just trying something out and seeing, well, okay, that worked fairly well. Well, that worked better. I'll go with that a little bit more. It's a lot of experimentation that goes into this.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've explained before, especially like to private clients, this idea of what we are conscious or who we are conscious of being, and how we draw into our world the experiences that match, you know, who we are being, is that sometimes we have this perception of something that includes things that we're not crazy about. And the example that I like to use is, especially as someone who's written books and is working on another book, is that, you know, if in my mind I said I wanted to be a best-selling author, but also in my mind, a best-selling author was somebody who had to go on book tours 9 months out of the year. And right, like I went to see David Sedaris at a book signing at Barnes & Noble, 10 years ago. And my friend actually worked at the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that, and they closed at 11 p.m., right? Every night they closed at 11 p.m. That night they were there until 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Because he signs every book for every person that shows up. And the line, they locked the store, but the line of people that had bought his book that wanted their book signed went on till after 2 in the morning.
Crazy.
So I know that story personally, right? And if in my mind I thought, gosh, I really want to have a bestseller, but I know because of this one experience, right? I know that if I'm a best-selling author, I'm going to be required to travel all over the world and stay up late at night and be away from my family. And I don't really like that part of it. Then I may hold that best-selling author status away from myself in consciousness because I'm not completely on board with all the things that I think are included.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they don't even have to be included, right? Like we all know there are probably plenty of best-selling authors who don't go on book tours and don't stay up late signing books and don't go away from their family. But it's that identity aspect to it.
Yes.
And that's why sometimes we struggle with bringing, like he says, drawing into your world that which we are conscious of being. because we think that there may be some things that we're not sure about or we're uncertain about or we don't like about. Mm-hmm. And so this is really a key. This can go really deep, right?
Well, we were touching on something that's pretty important, I think, which is it's actually in two parts. The first part is that however we decide to frame whatever it is that we're trying to draw in is going to be how we frame it and how it's going to try to come in. I mean, there may be variations to it, but like so many of Neville's stories have shown, it comes in almost exactly the way you had in mind in the first place. So if you frame it that it's going to be challenging to be on tour all the time and having to stay up till 2:30 in the morning signing books, that's part of the frame. That's
right.
Part of it. And the second point that's really equally important is it doesn't have to be that way if you don't want it to be. It's all how you frame it. So I guess it's two ways of saying the same point, but they really are important. We can frame this stuff any way we choose to. And to use Neville's metaphors, use his decoder ring, in doing so, we are playing the roles of God and Jesus. We are playing the role of God in us.
We are creating. Creator, right? Well, and that's, you know, it's interesting that you said it's two different ways of saying the same thing. But what I also see there is two different things that have a potential of happening, right? Either one, you hold it away from yourself because there's part of it you don't want, so it doesn't come. Mm-hmm. Number two, it does arrive, but it arrives, like you said, in the way you expected it. And then you are like, oh, this is the part about, how many people say, well, I love my career, but, you know, there's these parts of it that I'm not crazy about. And I think that's the human experience. We're all going to have that, you know.
It was the show experience yesterday. That's exactly what was happening every time the power came on and came out here. And it only went out for like a split second, but it was enough to knock me off the show. It's like, oh, I did it again.
Right. Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's see. So Neville says that, and I like this part too. He says, you cannot serve two masters. Therefore, take your attention from one state of consciousness and place it upon another is to die to one and live to the other. And that's the dying and living again is the whole born again thing he's talking about. Is mm-hmm. We're actually, I like to say it's like conscious reincarnation, right? It's, we're like reincarnating ourselves into a new state of identity or something.
It reminds me very much of Sunday school, back when I was involved in Christianity, and obviously because he's drawing a lot of this from scripture and from the way particularly that Christians talked during the 1930s when he wrote this book, and to a large degree still talk today, he's writing in very much the same vein. He's using a descriptor there that I personally find it to be a little bit out there in terms of like being over dramatized, you know, you die to one in order to live to the other. It's like, oh, okay, great. You know, what you're really saying is one stops, the other one starts. I get it. You know, ease up on all the over drama queen stuff. But nevertheless, that is the way so much of this stuff is taught through the traditional church. So it makes sense he would teach it that way. I think if I just translate it in my own mind to, well, one stops and the other starts, it works just fine.
Yeah, I think that the metaphor holds in a few ways as well, though. You think about how often that old identity tries to resurrect itself.
Well, there is that, right? Yes.
All right. So Neville says the question, and now he is referring to the Christian Bible, the question, whom do you say that I am, is not addressed to a man called Peter, but one called Jesus. This is the eternal question addressed to oneself by one's true being. In other words, whom do you say that you are? For your conviction of yourself, your opinion of yourself, will determine your expression in life. He states, you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, it is the me within you that is God. Praying, then, is seen to be recognizing yourself to be that which you now desire, rather than its accepting form of petitioning a God that does not exist for that which you now desire. And what I see here clearly, because this languaging is sometimes confusing, but this is the difference between petitioning a God that you perceive is exterior to you and apart from you and outside of you. The difference between that and recognizing that the person, if you will, that creates everything is within you. The power of creating is within you and accessing that. Mm-hmm. So it's an internal thing or an external God. So he
says,
there's
a big difference there. And just to touch on that for a moment, I was experimenting with that concept, not phrased this way, but the concept for sure, over the weekend, because the last few weekends, Louise and I have been going to the beach. We go to Rhode Island each weekend, and at least one of the days, often both days of the weekend, we just spend the day at the beach. And what I spend a lot of my time doing there, first of all, I'm not a sun worshiper, so we have this big canopy that I send her. She does all the sun. I sit under the canopy. My skin can't handle much more than that. But I just sit there, and you know, there's like crowds everywhere. There's all the people in their swimsuits, and they're doing all their beach things. I just like blank them all out, and I'm just looking out at the ocean. Mm-hmm. And just enjoying the waves and enjoying the breeze coming through, because you get that nice steady breeze coming off the ocean. And then I use that as an opportunity to just practice focusing. And in that focusing, I learn stuff. I talked earlier about how I experiment, and I know we all experiment. Well, one of the experiments I did was based on something that I had experienced last week. I was focusing on my heart area of my chest while I was focusing on the scene that was in front of me. Ooh. And focusing on the sounds. I was incorporating both at the same time because I wanted to develop that skill, that ability. And in the course of doing that, I had something happen that kind of surprised me, because I think I've told you I experience aphantasia, which is right. The inability to create images in your mind. Well, when I maintained that focus on my chest and the focus on this beautiful scene that I was just, you know, soaking up, all of a sudden, if I close my eyes, I would see colors, like swirling colors moving in front of my eyes. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm seeing images. They may not be defined images of Cindy sitting there at her computer, but it was color. It was like the swirling kaleidoscopic color. I said, this is cool.
That is cool.
I found a way to connect into, to kind of develop my ability to create imagery. And I know that the difference was I was connecting by focusing as well
within.
On my heart. I was going within.
Oh,
and that,
wow. going,
that demonstrates really clearly for me how powerful that going within is compared to not going within.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to trying it again.
Yeah. So I recognize that depending on, you know, what kind of upbringing we have or the beliefs we've chosen even, that this may be way hard for some people to want to consciously agree with, right? Mm-hmm. Saying that I am God, that
the
creative faculty is within me. It is not exterior to me. It is not some other being. It is actually within me. It is my imagination. It is my consciousness. So I understand if that's difficult to grasp or to accept, or if it even seems offensive to you because of other beliefs that you hold. But this is what Neville is teaching. So we're here listening to what Neville has to say.
And by the way, I want to add something on that too. I want to add the fact that I have over the last, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, like something like that, in casual conversation, often with people I barely even know, who know nothing about Law of Attraction or Neville, or maybe they might have heard of it, but for the most part, they're unaware of it. Every once in a while, I'll incorporate something along the line of what we're just saying here. I'll just include it. And you know, I believe that I am God. I believe that I have that power. And I don't get pushback. That's what's amazing to me. People, it's almost like this world shift that's been going on, this energetic shift has helped get people to a place where, sure, they're willing to accept almost anything now. And that's so different from what my experience was when I was a kid. I mean, so different.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And so people are like, huh, all right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, tell me something else.
Okay, whatever. So Neville is saying here, this is interesting because, okay, so we've got him talking about the difference between, you know, petitioning some outside exterior God or going within and realizing that the power to create is within. He says, so can't you see why the millions of prayers are unanswered? Men pray to a God that does not exist. For instance, to be conscious of being poor and to pray to a God for riches is to be rewarded with that which you are conscious of being, which is poverty. Prayers to be successful must be claiming rather than begging. So if you would pray for riches, turn from your picture of poverty by denying the very evidence of your senses and assume the nature of being wealthy. I think this is interesting that he says, you know, to be conscious of being poor and to pray to a God for riches is to be rewarded with that which you're conscious of being, poverty. Yeah.
I think we've all experienced it on one issue or another, one thing or another that we're trying to attract.
I think so. And I think that, you know, I don't think Neville's methods are the only methods.
Nope.
I like his methods.
Me too.
Another thing that I really think is useful is, it might be a stretch for a lot of us, but is recognizing that maybe some part of us wants to experience poverty in this particular example that Neville's talking about, and actually really enjoy it. Now, that might sound like, what? No one enjoys poverty. But if you've ever had both, and most of us have had a range of experiences, right? We've had times when things were really tight. We didn't have enough. We weren't sure how bills were going to get paid, maybe. And then times when we felt like, wow, it's just rolling in and we have extra and we can be more generous and we can buy some frivolous things or whatever, you know, just somewhere on that spectrum. And when we recognize, what if, it's a great question to just say, what if to yourself, it's like, what if part of me really wants this situation where I'm not sure where the money's coming in? I actually made a list one time when I was going through a really tight financial time. I made a list of all the things I was secretly liking about it. And I was like, ooh, I kind of like the challenge of not knowing where it's going to come from. I kind of like the thrill when it all works out. I kind of like the opportunity to work some magic or use some of these tools. I had this long list.
I realized,
okay, yeah, part of me is totally digging this situation where, that I'm complaining about so much that I'm praying to that God about whatever, right? All right. So,
I give you credit for that. I mean, that's not an easy list to make. It's not an easy list to make, and it's good that you did it, but it takes some stick-to-itiveness.
What makes it easier is to let go of the judgment, because it's not an easy list to make if we are judging the situation we are in as bad or wrong in some way, or we think other people are judging us, like, gosh, I'm a total fraud. People won't think that I'm successful because if they really knew, you know, that things were tight right now or whatever. We have all these judgments. When we let go of all the judgments, and we do that by asking that first question, and then what if there is no good or bad? What if it all just is what it is? What if we're just here on earth and these are experiences? What if I actually incarnated into this lifetime because I wanted to experience this and the other side of the coin, the literal coin, right? Two sides of a coin, poverty and wealth. What if I wanted to experience both of those things? And this is my chance right now to experience that side of it. Maybe I signed up for this and wanted it. Why would I do that? I don't know. Maybe I can take some delight in what I'm feeling here. That is so powerful. Often just all of the angst and worry and anxiety just start to melt away when we get into that place of acceptance.
And go ahead.
What is that saying about when we shift our perspective? When we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly what happens. Yesterday, with the stream, I asked the stream a question that I've been aching to ask for some time and got pretty much the answer I expected, but it was still a bit of a surprise, because I always like to try to nail down, okay, let's get down to how this stuff really, really works, right? You know, so I was like framing it like a scientific question. So I asked very specifically, okay, we talk about expansion. And when expansion occurs, the question I always want to know is like, what's expanding? So I said, when expansion occurs, does that mean that the quantity of source energy increases?
Oh, I like this question.
Very scientific question.
It is, isn't it?
And there was a pause and the answer came back, yes. And I loved it. And of course, the stream gave a more detailed answer than that. And the answer was great. But I loved the fact, first of all, I got a yes back. You don't often get a straight single yes or no response. And I got a yes response. And secondly, it confirmed something that I had suspected for quite some time, and now I can believe a lot of yous here, that goes against what scientists tell us. Because science will tell us that energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Correct. It just changes form.
It just changes form. But our spiritual teaching is no, actually it increases. So, and we, it increases through contrast. So to use your example of dealing with this, you know, situation, well, maybe I, what if I came here to experience this, this poverty experience for a bit here? You know, that is a contrast experience that creates an expansion. And when there's an expansion, there's an increase in source energy. So what if these things that we don't like so much, we're doing because we want to increase source energy?
Wow. What if? What if that is?
How's
well,
that for
you know,
what
we've
if?
Talked about this before. I mean, the idea of taking pleasure in physical sensation that normally we would call pain mm-hmm. and not pleasure. Like literally, oh, my head is hurting or my throat is hurting or my ear is hurting like I was last week. Mm. What if I just liked the way this felt? Now that might sound right.
Oh God, that's a bit of a stretch for me sometimes.
I know, but I tell you what, it dials down the pain a little bit.
It does.
Because yes. you stop resisting it the way, to the degree you're resisting it when you're going, oh, this hurts so much. I want this to stop. I hate this. This is awful. And you say, oh, what if I liked it? Really? takes a little bit of the edge off. Okay. So let's continue. See if we can get through this chapter in one podcast.
I have to interrupt you because Josie asked a question and it fits in perfectly with what you just said.
Perfect.
Question for Cindy. What are your tips on taking the resistance out of scripting?
Taking the resistance out of scripting.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think actually that if you're trying to do some scripting and you're feeling resistant, I just decide that I'm writing fiction, right? Like yeah. I tell myself there's not going to be some kind of test at the end, right? Where I'm going to get like a bad grade or right. a punishment because I scripted this in a certain way and only 40% of it came to pass, or it came to pass in a different way, or it was, you know, even better. I just decide I can write this however I want it and who cares, you know, and see that attitude of sort of like, who cares? Mm-hmm. That lets go of attachment, right? Because yeah. most of the time the resistance is happening because we care a little too much.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that resistance is always one of two things. It's, and sometimes both. It's either attachment or it's aversion. So I always say that attachment is the yes, yes kind of resistance. Oh, I want this. I want this. It has to be like this. I want it to happen. I want it to happen. And we've all been there. We apply for a job or something and we're like, oh, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. Right.
That was me trying to hold the podcast together.
Yesterday. Yeah. Please stay together. Don't knock the power out. It has to stay on. It has to stay on. And the aversion is the other side. Don't power. Don't go out. No, no, no.
Right. Right.
That's the no, no. And the yes, yes. Stay on. Stay on. Yes, yes. Don't go out. No, no. So that's
what were you
all.
Doing in my head yesterday? That's what I want to know.
So resistance always shows up as one of those two ways. So I don't know how the resistance is showing up with your scripting. It could be showing up as a, oh no, this is, I'm going way over the top. This isn't going to happen. I can't believe for this. My face not big enough, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe the other way, right? It's like, I'm writing it down and oh, it has to happen just like this. This is what I want. And it goes in a circular motion because, and what if it doesn't, right? It's like, yes, yes, no, no. So to let go of it, I just say, who cares? Like, I'm just going to have fun. Like, I've actually been creating some meditations this, in July, last month, the good life, my good life meditation. What would a good life, you know, if somebody said, think of a day, and I was actually creating a meditation in my head that was just one day, a perfect day from like start to finish, a wonderful, happy, brilliant kind of day. I was on an island somewhere and of course my brain kept saying, you can't travel to an island because of COVID, right?
Yeah, I was doing the same thing last week.
Right, it's just logic, right? The logical brain is always what's yes. trying to defeat your intuitive brain, your artistic, creative brain, by bringing up these arguments to you. And I was like, COVID's not happening in this imagination of the perfect world, obviously.
Exactly.
It's a perfect world.
That's so, the whole point.
So I just had fun. So that's, if you make the intention, not the outcome, don't make the intention, right, whether this happens or not in the future. Make the intention, I'm going to feel really good doing it right now. This is what Neville's talking about, assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. We're not assuming the perfect outcome later on in time of the wish fulfilled.
And we're certainly not assuming the feeling of the wish unfulfilled and disappointing us.
Right. So that's what I would say, is that just let it be easy and let it be fun right now. The process of it, let that be fun. Let the process of it be fun. That'll get rid of some of the resistance.
And by the way, she says she's glad that you're feeling better.
Thank you. I'm glad too.
I am too.
Glad too. Okay, let's see. We are told when you pray, go within in secret and shut the door, and that which your Father sees in secret, remember, Father is our consciousness or our imagination, our creative faculty, that which your Father sees in secret, with that will he reward you openly. So Neville says we have identified the Father to be the awareness of being. We have also identified the door to be the awareness of being. So shutting the door is shutting out that which I am now aware of being and claiming myself to be that which I desire to be. The very moment my claim is established to the point of conviction, that moment I begin to draw unto myself the evidence of my claim. Do not question the how of these things appearing, for no man knows that way. That is, no manifestation knows how the things desired will appear. Really like this a lot, because it goes right along with this question that we're talking about, scripting, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, he is saying, when we shut that door, we're shutting out the way thing, you know, making air quotes for the video, I can actually make the quotes, right? The way things are, right?
Yep.
Because so many times we say, but this is how it is. You can tell me, I can tell myself I'm wealthy all day, but look at my bank account. That's what it is. Neville is saying, no, shut that part out for the time being, just for this process. Just shut that out. Let that be outside the door. You go in to the space that's inside the door, and in there you have the bank account you want.
And
there
great.
You are on the island and COVID's not a thing. And
right.
there, whatever it is that you are wanting to focus on is happening.
And that's the great thing about that example that you just gave, because it illustrates beautifully what it is we're supposed to exclude. We're supposed to exclude the what is, because this is free flow imagination. This is like playtime when you're a little kid. You know, the little kid doesn't say, well, I was going to pretend to be a fireman, but I know that's not really realistic, so I'm not going to play that. That's not what the little kid does. The little kid says, I'm going to play being a fireman.
Right? I used to give this example when I taught intuitive art workshops, that the same type of example, you know, a little kid draws a picture and he comes up to you and he's like, look!
Yeah.
And you're like, in your mind, like, what is it? And he's like, it's a fire truck. Oh, yeah.
Of course it is.
That's good. Yeah. You know, oh, it's a red scribble. But you're like, oh, that's nice, right? He's not worried that it doesn't look exactly like a fire truck. To him.
He's not worried that it doesn't look anything like a fire truck.
To him, it's the essence of a fire truck.
That's
right. There. And he can feel it and see it, right? So, yes, that's a great example. And that's exactly what we want to do. And yes, you know, we do come into the world and have to recognize what it is. We have to recognize the way things are sometimes, right? We do sit down and we pull out a checkbook or whatever. We go online, we pay our bills. We do see the bank balance. It's not to say pretend, you know, every moment of your life that none of these things are the way they are. I mean, we're talking about a specific example of taking time apart to assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled.
Yeah.
And what's cool is that if you practice at this, you will come to the place where you don't have to set aside an hour to do it. You can do it in the instant. You can do it in the moment.
Yes.
You can feel that feeling right now.
And you actually can get to the point where that that monkey brain voice, the one that's saying, well, that's not the way things really are. Mm-hmm. That voice just kind of it becomes quiet. It just stops, or you stop hearing it, stop paying attention to it. You stop giving it any power, and it just kind of withers away.
That's right. I remember when you started doing mirror work, and 30 days in, you said to me, well, it's not that I don't have any mental chatter or any negative mental chatter, but it's like a TV that's on in the other room at a low volume, and I can hear it enough to know what it's about, and I'm not interested, and I really don't care, so I don't even pay attention. I tell my clients that example because I think it's so powerful. It's not that we're completely unaware of what our bank account really is, or that we have a sore throat or whatever, but it's muted and it's in the background, and we're enjoying the feeling of what's inside the door, and we've shut it outside the door for now. You know, it's kind of like when you actually do shut a door and there's something going on the other side. Mm. Why do we shut the door sometimes? Like, I shut the door right behind me in my office because there may be something else going on the other side of the house, and I don't want the sound of it to be on the podcast.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I'm unaware of it.
No.
But I've shut it out.
Exactly. Exactly.
I really love Neville. Okay. Let's see. Consciousness is the way or door through which things appear. He said, I am the way. Not I, John Smith, am the way, but I am. The awareness of being is the way through which things shall come. The signs always follow. They never precede. Things have no reality other than in consciousness. Therefore, get the consciousness first, and the thing is compelled to appear. I like this a lot, and it's something that we talked about on a podcast. I don't know. I think it's been a few months ago, but we were talking about signs, mm-hmm. and that signs follow. I think that's an important thing because oftentimes people want to follow the signs.
Exactly.
They wait for a sign so that they know what to do, so they follow. But actually, signs follow. They don't precede. You are told, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things shall be added unto you. Get first the consciousness of the things that you are seeking, and leave the things alone. This is what is meant by, ye shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. Apply this principle, and you will know what it is to, quote, prove me and see. The story of Mary is the story of every man. Mary was not a woman giving birth in some miraculous way to one called Jesus. Mary is the awareness of being that ever remains virgin, no matter how many desires it gives birth to. Right now, look upon yourself as this Virgin Mary, being impregnated by yourself through the medium of desire, becoming one with your desire to the point of embodying or giving birth to your desire. For instance, it is said of Mary, whom you now know to be yourself, that she knew not a man, yet she conceived. That is, you, John Smith, have no reason to believe that which you now desire is possible. But having discovered your awareness of being to be God, you make this awareness your husband and conceive a man-child, a manifestation of the Lord. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord God of the whole earth shall be called. Your ideal or ambition is this conception. The first command to her, which is now to you, go tell no man. That is, do not discuss your ambitions or desires with another, for the other will only echo your present fears. Secrecy is the first law to be observed in realizing your desire. That's something we hear a lot of teachers talk about, mm-hmm. right? A lot of times people who really love us and care about us and have our best interests in mind will immediately say, oh, you don't want to do that start dreaming too big, right? Because they don't want to see us get disappointed. But really, I think a good piece of advice there is to tell people your dreams and visions, but make sure there are people that will support them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's what having a mastermind is about.
Right, exactly.
A group of people that all support each other. Okay.
And before you go on, I want to ask you about something here. I'm trying to recall if in any of the other books that we read of Neville's, and we went through them with, you know, pretty much fine-tooth comb approach, if in any of them he gave Mary as the same kind of metaphor that he's given to Jesus and all that kind of thing. In this case, that Mary is awareness. Do you recall if he used that particular metaphor before?
I vaguely recall in one book that we kind of went down this path.
Okay.
And it was the book where we talked a lot about the metaphor of procreation.
Mm-hmm.
The metaphor of union and of becoming pregnant. He might have talked about it there. It makes sense that he would have talked about it there.
I thought about the same thing. I couldn't remember if actually he referred to Mother Mary there, but it certainly makes a lot of sense that he would have.
It does. I can't tell you the book, and I can't off the top of my head, and I can't tell you I remember it exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a good metaphor, right?
It is.
Yeah. So he says the second, as we are told in the story of Mary, is to magnify the Lord. We have identified the Lord as your awareness of being. Therefore, to magnify the Lord is to revalue or expand one's present conception of oneself to the point where this revaluation becomes natural. When this naturalness is attained, you give birth by becoming that which you are one with in consciousness. So this is sort of where he started this particular section.
Right.
When it becomes natural, when we stop resisting, when we can see it clearly and we don't resist.
Another interesting little Neville decoder ring thing. He just described the Lord as being awareness of being. Two paragraphs back, he describes Mary as being awareness of being. So I think we have to draw the conclusion that Mary is another example of God.
Yeah. Well, it would make sense since Neville says that's who we are, all of us. Mm-hmm. We all have the power, right?
Yep.
So then she would have too. And it's kind of a very meta metaphor.
There's one more thing I want to draw attention to. He says, this is previous paragraph. He says, where is it? You make this awareness your husband and conceive a man child, in parentheses, manifestation of the Lord. Man child is manifestation. Interesting right there.
I like that a lot. I was like, manifestation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. So he says the story of creation is given us in digest form in the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word. Now this very second is the beginning spoken of. It's the beginning of an urge, a desire. The Word is the desire swimming around in your consciousness, seeking embodiment. The urge of itself has no reality, for I am, or the awareness of being, is the only reality. Things live only as long as I am aware of being them. And if you're not reading along, all of the I ams are capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
So to realize one's desire, the second line of this first verse of John must be applied. That is, and the Word was with God. The Word or desire must be fixed or united with consciousness to give it a reality. The awareness becomes aware of being the thing desired, thereby nailing itself upon the form or conception and giving life unto its conception or resurrecting that which was heretofore a dead or unfulfilled desire. And he has in quotes, two shall agree as touching anything and it shall be established on earth. I see this as him talking about our awareness of being is actually the energy that gives life to our desire.
Yes, I agree.
It brings it into form. So he goes on to say here, and we'll wind up with this last bit, this agreement is never made between two persons. Oh, this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It is between the awareness and the thing desired. You are now conscious of being, so you are actually saying to yourself, without using words, I am. Now, if it's a state of health that you are desiring of attaining, before you have any evidence of health in your world, that's important, right? Before you have any evidence.
We were talking about that at the top of the show.
Yep. you begin to feel yourself to be healthy. And the very second the feeling I am healthy is attained, the two have agreed. That is, I am and health have agreed to be one. And this agreement ever results in the birth of a child, which is the thing agreed upon, in this case, health. And because I made the agreement, I expressed the thing agreed. So you can see why Moses stated, I am, hath sent me. For what being other than I am could send you into expression? None. For I am the way. Besides me, there is no other. If you take the wings of the morning and fly into the uttermost parts of the world, or if you make your bed in hell, you will still be aware of being. You are ever sent into expression by your awareness, and your expression is ever that which you are aware of being.
I love that phrase. He keeps using awareness of being, awareness of being, awareness of being. And it reminds me that, I mean, he is describing a process here that I'm sure from the stories that we've heard that he's told and that have come to us anecdotally, that people were doing then what they do now. They hear stuff like this and they apply it to exceptional cases. Yes, I want to be healthy. I want to bring wealth into my life. I want to have better relationships, and on and on and on and on. But as we were reading this, I was getting a very definite sense of how did he say it? You are actually saying to yourself without using words, I am.
Right.
And I took that as I'm doing that all day long because I'm continuously, consciously self-aware all day long. So my entire day is I am, I am, I am, I am. It's just one continuous series of I ams. And in each one of those I ams, I am picking this and I'm selecting that and I'm not selecting that and I'm doing this and I'm thinking that and I'm trying to attract that. It's a continuous thing that's just going on and on and on and on. It's not one isolated event. It's continuous.
You know, something interesting here, I've been teaching this in the last couple of weeks and I didn't relate it until right now, but we've talked before about expressing emotions in a certain way. I have a very specific, particular way that I like to express an emotion, and that is to say, I feel the emotion, right? So I feel well, I feel happy, I feel sad, whatever, instead of I am, right? And I feel like my throat hurts, my head hurts, is a different expression than I am sick, right? And I always try, at least, to make sure that my I am statements are, because I know how powerful that awareness of being is to create, that I don't want to say I am sick. I'm not saying I never say that or I never, you know, because it's a practice.
Sure.
But the practice is, I feel unwell today. I am in the process of healing because every symptom is a healing gesture.
It's true.
So the power of words, I think Neville would agree how important the power of words are because they are born out of awareness of being.
Especially when we combine them with the feeling that goes with them. I mean, we'll tend to ignore them at times, but when we deliberately assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled, when we deliberately tie that feeling in, just like the little kid who paints or draws a scribble that he calls a fire engine. Like you said, he feels that's a fire engine. He can just tell with his entire being that it is a fire engine. And so it is a fire engine.
That when you said, just like a little kid, the immediate thought in my mind about the pure expression of a child. The first time I ever took my five-year-old when he was five, he's 33 now, but I took him to the beach. He'd never been to a beach before. He was either three or five. He went running down the beach and he screamed out, "This is the best day of my life."
I think love it.
It's that pure emotion and pure expression, right? That's what
I think that's what I aspire to is that purity of expression, that just pure celebratory emotion. And the more that I focus on wanting to feel stuff like that, the more I increase my ability to feel stuff like that, which is cool. But that's the ultimate, because when you see it, we'll talk about being at the beach. I mean, I see that every single weekend that we go to the beach, because of course there are lots of families there. And I think it was last Saturday when we went, Louise was a little bit annoyed at first, and I kind of was for a split second until I realized what was going on. There were these two kids, they just arrived. the ocean was particularly active. The waves were pretty high. They were like 5 or 6 foot waves, and they were just screaming. They were so excited. They weren't even coherently screaming. There were no words. They were just full of excitement to be there. Pure, absolutely unadulterated joy. It's a wonderful thing, even if it is a little bit annoying.
It's at the top of the chart.
That's right. It is at the top of the chart. So, okay, good. Well, we've done part 2 out of 6. So we have, we're right on track. We with this book, I really do think the author figured out, not the author, but the editor figured out we do 1-hour-long shows and did this for us.
That's
so
it.
Thank you.
Perfect.
To the editor. Before we go, we got to make sure that we remind people who are interested in finding out more about Cindy Chavez to use the LOA Today app to reach out to her.
Yes.
For those who have not, for some unknown reason, have not decided to download the LOA Today app, why don't you give them a little clue on how to reach out to you until they do?
Well, you can find me on my website, cindychavez.com. It's CindyChavez. And I have a contact form there. I'd love to hear from you. Just even if you just want to say hello, if you're looking for coaching support or you just want to say hi, either one. Got a question, a comment about the show. We just love hearing from you.
By the way, I'll give you one more hint about the LOA Today app. If you do download the LOA Today app and go to the host page and go to the link under Cindy's name and click the link, guess where it takes you?
The contact page
on the website. You don't even have to remember what the website was.
Right. So I have to go get the app, LOA Today.
So simple. Excellent. All right. Good stuff. Well, thank you very much once again for being our Neville interpreter and getting out your Neville ring again.
Thank you.
Taken up the Neville Dakota Ring Challenge once again. Good stuff. Thank you very much also to live streamers. Great question from Josie that time. That was excellent. And thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.